We're going to spend some time in several verses throughout the chapter. As Pastor Denise shared, we're in a sermon series titled Come Holy Spirit. And if you haven't been with us over the last several weeks, I encourage you to go to our website and check out the previous sermons because they all connect and build on each other. Today is a special day as we close out this series because you're going to hear in a few moments an incredible story that captures really the longing of our heart. We dove into this series because we believe from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is not a doctrine that we believe, but He is a person we experience, that He is God, and that through Him we are empowered to live lives that glorify Jesus. And we've talked about His gifts, we've talked about His ministry, His work in our lives, and today we're going to take a particular look at the gift of prophecy. And after you hear the story that you're going to hear in a few moments, we're going to dive into a time of prayer and create space for anyone that would like to receive prophetic ministry from one of our trained leaders on our prayer team. Today would be an incredible day for you to avail yourself of that. What God has been doing through this series has been remarkable. I could keep you here for hours if I told you all the miracles that have happened over the last several weeks, incredible healings, powerful things that God has done. Today we're going to get a snippet that I really believe is going to encourage you. But before we do that, I am going to rapid fire a sermon at you to give us some theological grounding around this gift called the gift of prophecy, because it's utterly important that we appropriate the gifts of God in the way that God prescribes for us to do so. And the gift of prophecy, thankfully, has quite a bit of instruction connected to it in Scripture. And so let's go and read the Word of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Verse 24 to 25 in the same chapter, the Apostle Paul continues. He says, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Verse 29 to 33, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. So my brothers, verse 39, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to your word, and our hearts are expectant to learn from you. Lord, we want to know your ways, and we're so grateful for all these weeks as we've been looking at the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit, seeking to understand what it means to have a vibrant relationship with him as he glorifies Jesus and empowers us to live lives that glorify Jesus. And so, Lord, we ask that as we dive into this very important subject, that you would grace us with understanding. Would you be with us? In Jesus' name, amen. So if you notice in verse 1 of this chapter, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church that gathered in Corinth, a metropolis of that time, much like ours, a bustling city full of commerce and really an epicenter of economy at that time. So this church was in an urban center, and he's teaching them about this very important gift of prophecy, and he tells them to eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, but especially prophecy. We've talked about the gifts of the Spirit a few weeks ago, and we looked at the 9 gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. But it's interesting, of all the gifts that he tells them to eagerly desire, why didn't he say eagerly desire healing or eagerly desire miracles or faith? He hones in and says, eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. And if you notice, in verse 2, he says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. And then he juxtaposes that and says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people. And so today we're not going to get into the gift of tongues. We're actually going to do that in our next prayer and worship gathering. And so mark your calendars, the third Sunday of September. That night I'll teach on the gift of tongues and we'll pray. It's going to be a phenomenal night. And so I encourage you to join us then. But it's important to know just the simple distinction that tongues, as it's explained in this context, it empowers us to speak to God. But prophecy, the gift, empowers us to speak to people on behalf of God. And this gift is quite profound. Look at what it says about the gift of tongues, connected to the gift of tongues in Romans 8:26. It's worth noting, even though we're not going to expound on the gift of tongues, it says, Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And so that text talks about that the Spirit, through the gift of tongues, helps us to pray, helps us to intercede and to be able to pray out the will of God. The gift of prophecy, it's interesting, of all 9 gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy actually has the most instruction about it. The other gifts, quite frankly, there's not a lot of instruction. There's not a lot of explanation, and we have piece together, theologians over the centuries have pieced together, practitioners, what these gifts kind of feel and look like and how they're demonstrated. But the gift of prophecy, actually, we have a lot of teaching on it. And I think that's intentional because there is no gift quite like the gift of prophecy with its potential to glorify Jesus in powerful ways. Just wrap your mind around how powerful the gift of prophecy is, the ability to speak to someone on behalf of God, to communicate a message from God that can change someone's life when it's done through the Spirit and it's Him guiding and leading. But conversely, there's no gift quite like the gift of prophecy that, if not properly administered, can create some harm and can be misused. And so the intention for the next few moments is to give you some very simple, clear, biblical guardrails, because we need those so that we can operate within this gift in safety and, as Paul says, in decency and in order. So let's look at verse 3, 4, and 5. It actually, in these verses, it prescribes the limits of this gift. The limits of the gift of prophecy is this: but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And then verse 4 and 5, it speaks of prophecy also as edifying. Like verse 4 says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. The gift of prophecy, its intention, its confines, its limits are those: to strengthen, encourage, comfort, and bring edification. The gift of prophecy is not to give direction. No one should be using the gift of prophecy as a means to give direction. And so if someone ever told you, I believe God told me to tell you, you should quit your job, or you should move to that city, or you should break up with that person, or you should start a relationship with that person, you grin, you smile, and you walk away. Because that is not someone who's properly administering the gift of prophecy. Its intention, its limits, are strengthening, encouragement, comfort, edification. That's it. It's not to bring direction. The gift of prophecy, like all the works of the Spirit, are intended to focus our gaze upon Jesus, to glorify Jesus. So the gift of prophecy should never bring attention and aggrandize the person giving the prophetic word. It's all about Jesus. It all points to Jesus. And so why that's important is because often Most pastors that I know that love the Word of God, believe it's inspired, and are not cherry picking which verses that they actually are going to believe are inspired. They actually receive the book as the inspired Word of God. Most of them believe in the gift of prophecy, but many of them don't want it in their churches because of the misuse. We are of the persuasion that if Jesus has something to give us, we want it. And if the Spirit is going to give us a gift, we want all of it, and we want to follow the Word of God. Paul says, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So we are of the posture that we desire the gifts of the Spirit, and especially prophecy, because we have seen God use this gift in remarkable ways to glorify Jesus and bring people closer to Him. But we want to use that gift while avoiding the pitfalls. Because the will of God is primarily revealed through the Scriptures. God can use the gift of prophecy to confirm His leading in your life, but He won't use the gift of prophecy to direct you. God will speak to you first through His Word. He'll speak to you in your heart as He leads you. But the gift of prophecy is not the first movement in that direction. It can confirm where God speaks to you, and now someone prays for you prophetically, and now you have a confirmation, you have a peace. Oh, great, God is leading me. I'm not just making this up or hearing my own heart. God is confirming His will. But the gift of prophecy is never to lead and direct. The Scriptures lead and direct us. The Scriptures are the final arbiter of truth. The Scriptures are what we use to judge and determine the accuracy of things. The Scripture are the plumb line, are the ruler that everything is measured against. It's important to note that the gift of prophecy always comes under the authority of Scripture. It's always judged by Scripture. It should never contradict Scripture. If someone, I remember one time I heard a story where someone was prophesying in a meeting, and they said, "Thus saith the Lord, do not fear, even though sometimes I'm afraid too." That was weird, because God, they were saying something about the character of God that isn't accurate. God is not afraid. He's never afraid. That joke just slipped over so many of your heads. You're too intense, but I dig it. I appreciate it. This is intense. But the gift of prophecy should never contradict what the Word of God reveals about God, His nature, His ways, and His place in our life. Prophecy doesn't add to Scripture. Scripture is closed. It's final. It's not on equal footing with Scripture. Prophecy is always under the authority of Scripture. And here's an important thing to note. If you looked at the verses 29 to 33 that we read, it talks about that when someone gives a prophecy, that you're to weigh it. You're to judge it. We don't judge Scripture. We don't have the authority to say, you know what, that command about love, I like it. The one about forgiveness, I don't know. Or you know, that mercy thing is great, but generosity, nah. You know, we don't come to Scripture and make it bend to our thoughts. We come to Scripture and bend our thoughts to the Word of God. Prophecy, however, is supposed to be judged. It's not infallible. And when someone offers you a word, you now are in a position to judge it, to say, yes, that was from God. Or to respectfully say, that didn't minister to me. Amen. And that's okay. The person prophesying knows that their word should be judged. And if it's not accurate, that's fine. We are all growing. We all are seeking to be more sensitive to the voice of God. There's room and grace for those moments to happen. But again, true prophecy never contradicts Scripture. It's always confirming it, judging it. Judge by Scripture. Notice what Paul says, verse 39. He says, "So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order." In the verse we read, and notice it said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That is a profound thing, in that just because God gave you a word doesn't mean you have to share it at that moment in that setting. You actually have control over how you deliver it, when you deliver it. And so it should be done in decency and in order. I've been in services where someone just thought it was, they had to give the word now. It didn't matter what was going on. And it was just like, I got a word and I need to share it. And they were completely out of order. And so for us, order for us means if you believe God's put a word on your heart, come speak to one of us, one of the pastors. We'll discern and we'll be able to determine the appropriate time and nature by which when it's shared. And that speaks to the issue of the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It's not just God gives you a word and you have to blurt it out. Everything should be done in decency and in order. That's what Paul is advocating. He's saying, don't stop using the gifts. Don't stop desiring them. Desire them, especially prophecy, but make sure that it's done properly. So now, with that rapid fire sermon, I hope you took some notes. I hope you go back to the audio. I tried to distill the very best instruction that is out there on how to, from scripture and really thoughtful theologians and practitioners over the years that give the church some proper boundaries for this gift to be used. I tried to distill some of the key things. There's more that can be said, but these things that we just talked about really give us some sure grounding for us to be able to receive words and for us to be able to begin to share them as well. So now, here's what we're going to do with the remainder of our time. After you hear the story you're going to hear in a few moments, we're going to spend some time in prayer and create space for people to receive prophetic ministry. I want to encourage you, get out of your seats. Go and receive prayer. The prayer team is going to be in the back. You owe it to yourself. Love yourself and go get some prayer today and let one of the leaders practice this gift. And you have no idea the ways that God could meet you today as we all are earnestly desiring for God to speak and to minister. The gift of prophecy is for believers to be strengthened, encouraged, edified. But it also said in that in the verses we read, the gift of prophecy is also, it has an aspect to it where unbelievers, people that don't know Jesus, God uses this gift often to reveal himself to them, to make them aware of his reality. And in doing so, they come to faith and they turn to faith in Jesus. We want the gift of prophecy to be in operation, not just within our church, but outside of our church. How powerful would it be if you and I would be listening to God in our workplaces, in our homes, with our friends, and be used of God to share the word of God, a message from God for people that don't know him, where their minds would be blown that God is conscious of them, that God knows their situation. The people I've seen come to faith through the gift of prophecy over the years has been amazing. And I want to encourage us as a body. Tonight, it would be a great space. If you've never been to one of our worship and prayer nights, I encourage you to come out tonight. Previous ones have been amazing where we've seen God activate this gift in people and people use of God. It's been a powerful kind of learning lab where in safety and guidance with leaders there, you can learn to use this gift and other gifts of the Spirit. I encourage you to come out tonight at 5. With that said, we're going to pray after we hear this amazing story. Would you welcome up our very dear sister, Regina? She's going to come up. She's coming up in the back with her lovely daughter. Let's give her a hand. Her daughter has yet to smile at me. She has no idea my persistence. I'll win her over. Regina, thank you so much for just being willing to share your story. As we talked about in this series, it's been more than just teaching and going into subjects. It has been our prayer that the Holy Spirit would come, that the Holy Spirit would glorify Jesus in our community, and he has answered that in profound ways. I could literally keep you here for hours if I told you just in the past couple weeks the amount of physical healings that have happened, amazing things that God has done. But Regina's story that you're going to hear is quite profound, because a few weeks ago, God ministered to her in a really amazing way. And so, Regina, would you mind just walking us through what happened?
Okay, thank you. Hello. Thank you. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't planning to be in church, but rather get some rest and take some time to pray for my dad, who was ill. However, in the morning, I somehow sensed that I have to go to church. We arrived a little early, sat for a while before the service began. The worship was great, and my daughter enjoyed the songs as she danced to most of it. I also prayed in between the worship, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide my prayers. During that week, one of my daily devotion messages had focused on allowing the Spirit to lead for effective prayers to align with the will of God. Before the sermon began, Christian prayed, during which he made some revelations, including my dad's. His words were, "I have someone in our midst whose dad has received a medical report about his health concerning his heart."
So thank you for sharing. Yeah, what I love about her story is that how many can relate that some Sundays you wake up and you don't want to come to church? And so some of you don't want to be honest, you know? Oh, I always want to come to church. Liar! So she was feeling overwhelmed, wanted to stay home, wanted to pray for her dad, stay home. She got some bad news about her father, but she felt this pull to come. So I want to commend you for your tenacious faith. I know I've folded for much less, and so I just really respect you. And so over the last several weeks, if you've noticed, one of the things that we've begun to do is that every Sunday morning our prayer team comes and they pray for all of us before we ever show up. When you're waking up, deciding whether you're going to come to church, know that our prayer team is praying for you. And so you don't stand a chance, just come, you know? And so as they pray, though, they're listening to see if God might have a word. And as they've been sharing those words with us on the pastors, and if you notice, right after worship, we share those words and we encourage people to go and receive prayer. It's been amazing. Every time we've shared a word, we've had at least one person come for one of the things that we've shared for the last several weeks. And so they pray, they listen to the Holy Spirit and see if there are any words. That morning, the morning that Regina is referring to, the Khan, Denise's husband, who leads our prayer team, he emailed me these very words. This was one of the words. It says, "There's someone here with the heaviness on their chest. While there could be an emotional component to this, we felt there was a physical one too, and perhaps this person, maybe a father, has some kind of heart disease. I just want to pray for healing over that, as well as lifting any of the heaviness and burden that rests on this person's chest." So I shared that. And the challenge for me is that I'm often not praying in the back, so I don't know who's responding or not. The prayer team gets to enjoy those moments. At the end of the service, Regina comes up to me and tells me about her father. And my jaw almost dropped. We're outside, and as people are leaving and saying goodbye, she shares this. I'm like, oh my God, this was you. I had no idea. And so I shared that, as you said. And how'd you process all of that? As you were in the service, your daughter dancing, not smiling at me, but she was dancing, and you heard this word. How'd you process that?
So in the course of the week, my mom back home in Ghana has informed me that my dad has been complaining of his heart and passed out a couple of times. Intense examination had been done on him and identified some issues with his blood pressure. However, I still wondered if the message was for me. After church, something was prompting me to speak to you. I was trying to ignore it, but it kept coming from within. On my way out, I found Chris downstairs welcoming people and greeting others. I drew closer and asked if he could do me a favor and pray for my dad. Those were the only words I could say as tears flowed down my cheeks uncontrollably. I added he's not well, and he asked for my dad's name and prayed for me.
Thank you for sharing. So that was a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And how's your dad doing now after we prayed? What has God done?
Sure. So I spoke to my mom afterwards, and we communicated during the week about my dad. She kept saying, God is divine. My dad is much better. And there were other external issues, which I shared with you, of course, going on. But for some time, we were praying about his health, that he gets better. So that was all that our focus was on, his health. But God answered all the other external issues that was going on. I know my God is faithful and will glorify. Sorry. And will glorify his name and make my dad stronger and healthier than he could ever think of. This has been a difficult time for him, and he's been a bit resentful. But I believe God will show him his goodness. And I thank you, Christian, of course, for your support and prayers, and to Khan as well. I hope this testimony will encourage others to know that no matter your situation or whatever you're going through, God is faithful and his words are true. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever think of. And let us still listen to the still small voice that speaks to us all the time. Because I kept ignoring for some reasons, but I did listen. And yeah, my dad got his healing.
Wow. There's so much about her story that moves me. I don't know if you can relate. How many times you've felt like you should go and get prayer and you don't follow through with that? You rush out or say, I don't want to get into it. And yet, what opportunities we miss out. And yet, we got a preacher in the house. All right. You tell us the word of God. That day, God, through the gift of prophecy, let Regina know, I'm mindful of you. I know you. Of all the billions of people, you're not just a number. I know you by name. And God wants you and I to know that. And often, one of the profound ways that he does that is through the gift of prophecy, where someone who doesn't know anything about you, doesn't know what you're going through, God will inspire them to pray, to utter words that will utterly just encourage you. I want to share that the first service, we interviewed someone else. I really would encourage you to hear that podcast as well. It's another incredible story of how God uses this gift to encourage, to strengthen, and we're going to seek to try to make the video of this available as well. And so, God, we want this to be a normal part of our faith, because from God's perspective, it's supposed to be a normal part of our faith. It's in the Word of God. And what would it look like for you and I to grow in this gift, to grow in our sensitivity to the voice of God, that there would be many other stories like Regina, where through the word of God shared through this gift, there could be moments where people say, God is real. He's mindful of my situation, and their faith could be strengthened. And so can we give Regina and her lovely daughter a hand? She's still not smiling at me, still. Maria, thank you so much for sharing your story today. Maria is very new to our church, been here just a couple of weeks. And during this time, she experienced something very powerful during our most recent prayer and worship night. I can't stress and encourage you enough, if you have not been able to join us for one of these prayer and worship nights, I hope today's story, as well as the one that we're going to share the next service, encourage you to come, because what you're going to hear happens quite frequently in very powerful ways during our prayer and worship night. So she was there on the 29th, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit were at work that night, and Maria had an incredible experience with God. And as a result of that night, her relationship with Jesus has come alive. But in order to understand the significance of that night, I asked Maria if she could share just a bit of her story and what was going on in her life leading up to that prayer and worship night. And so, Maria, can you share your story with us?
Yeah. So basically, I was with someone that I considered to be the love of my life, someone that, you know, I thought that God had sent for me, and the man that I was going to marry and build a life with. So I gave this man 3 years of my life. You know, I sacrificed. I gave him everything. And when I met him, he was separated. He was still legally married, but he was going through a divorce. And so in helping him through that moment, it kind of just took everything out of me, you know? And I just desperately wanted to believe that he was, you know, moving past that. He assured me that, you know, he learned from his mistakes. He wanted to move forward. And so I desperately wanted to believe him. And so I did. Now, ultimately, the promise that he made me about moving forward, all the sacrifices that I had made, about marrying me, having kids together, just one day he decided that he just wasn't on the same page anymore. And I literally relocated from Queens to Poughkeepsie for him. I did all kinds of things. And for him to tell me that, it literally devastated me. And, you know, he confessed he was no longer in love with me. And so I had no choice but to move out of the apartment that we shared. And I ended up moving back home, back to square one, where I started at my mother's apartment. And I ended up going from having an apartment, sharing it with the man that I love, now sleeping in my mom's living room, because now I basically had to start from scratch. And at the same time, I found out that I was scheduled to have surgery less than a week later. I had no clue who was going to take me to the hospital, who was going to pick me up. The hospital was in Long Island. And, you know, I just, I was a mess. I felt alone. I felt helpless. I felt broken. And I just felt like here I gave this man everything I thought that I was supposed to give as you know, as a good person. You give your all, you sacrifice, you love unconditionally, just for them to turn around and say, you know, thanks but no thanks. And so, you know, he pretty much let me go, and I felt like I gave everything, and now I had nothing. I was depressed, and I felt, most importantly, like I was not worthy of love.
Thank you for sharing your story. So sorry you've gone through all that. I marvel at the fact that everything that was going on in your life, somehow you made it to our prayer and worship night. And what was that like, you entering into that space with everything going on?
So it's funny because I actually moved out. So I had been struggling back and forth, wondering if I had made the right decision, if I should have just sucked it up, if it would have changed anything. But I moved out, and it was bizarre because he literally moved me out. Like, he just pretty much, like, it was in a way, was nice that he helped me, but in another sense, it was like weird because he literally was packing my bags and like moving it from Poughkeepsie to my mom's apartment in Queens. So it was like this weird, perplexing thing for me. And then the following day, my friends invited me to the beach just for like a sense of normalcy, just to clear my head. And while I was there, I just felt like I had to go to church. And the week before was actually my first time in church, and I came with him. I brought him to church with me. It was our first time together. But I actually brought him because I thought that, I don't know, maybe some divine intervention or something would kind of like, maybe, you know, God would speak to him. But instead of God speaking to him, God was speaking to me. You know, God was basically showing me and telling me that I had to be here and I had to continue coming and to continue doing what I had to do, even as scary as it may have been. So as I was in church, as I was at the beach, everyone was having fun, and I said, no, I have to leave and I have to go to church. So I made it my business. I came to church actually still in my church, in my beach attire and everything. And I went into the bathroom and I changed, and not knowing what to expect, but still feeling broken. And, you know, I just knew that I had to come to church, and so I did. And then I just sat and I just took it all in.
Yeah, prior to that Sunday, I'd never met Maria. And my assumption, which was incorrect, is that if you come to a prayer meeting, you're probably like, you know, you're not coming from the beach. And so when I saw her, I'm like, man, this is a committed follower of Jesus. She came from the beach, you know, like, and so she comes to the prayer meeting, and I had no idea where she was at spiritually, or what was going on in her life. And so that night, if you remember, we had our second prayer and worship night in July. I particularly felt like I was supposed to teach on healing. And the flow of the night was I was going to teach on healing, demonstrate how to pray for the sick, and then give people tools to offer prayer for the sick as well. As we were worshiping, I felt as if God impressed on my heart a few words. One word was that there was someone in the room that had just suffered a recent injury in their shoulder. The other word was that there was someone that had a pain in their foot. I kind of saw this image of a foot, and the vein over it was like inflamed with pain. And I shared those words. The first person came up was a woman that had a shoulder injury. She just recently injured it at the gym. And for a couple weeks, she couldn't put any pressure on it. If she did, she would like collapse if she tried to do a push-up. And anyway, we prayed for her. She gets healed. She starts planking in front of the whole room. It was really cool. And so, but then the you know, saying, I feel like there's someone here with a foot that has pain. I didn't know if it was God, but I just kind of felt like it might be. And so I shared that. Maria came forward, and what happened next really blew my mind. And so could you share kind of what your story about the pain that you were feeling?
Yeah, so ever since I was a child, I've had this ongoing and recurring pain at the top of my foot, which was exactly what Pastor Chris had described. And it would literally keep me up at night. It wasn't an everyday constant thing, but it would happen often. And when it did, it was literally just unsettling. I would wake up in the middle of the night. It was just terrible. And no doctor would be able to help me. No one knew what it was. And then the pain, it was literally like the veins at the top of my feet were bulging and it was cramping, and then it would just spread up to from my foot up to my calf. And it was just, and it would go from one leg to the other, and it was literally miserable. Like it was just terrible.
So you have to understand, for me, I share this word, I don't know if anybody's going to respond or if people are just going to be like, man, Pastor Chris is weird, you know? And so when Maria comes forward, I'm like, oh my gosh, God is at work. And so she shares this. And so the thing was that she wasn't in pain at that moment. She shared that, yes, that's me, but she shared that she wasn't in pain at the moment. And so I prayed in faith. just following God's lead in all this, but we couldn't actually verify if she was healed on the spot because she wasn't feeling pain versus like the other person we could verify she was planking, she was healed. And so as I went to pray for her, I had this, I gotta admit, I hate these moments, but all these years I've tried my best to just follow God's leading and know that I don't have to understand it. And sometimes God will give you words that for you sound funny, but for people mean incredibly significant things. And so as she came forward, I said, I have this image of God pouring buckets of water over you. I mean, that just sounds weird. And so I shared that and said, I just feel like he's cleansing you and washing you with his love. And then in particular, I said, I feel like God wants you to know that you're not alone, that he hasn't forgotten you. And when I said those words, Maria reacted. And I was like, this must mean something particularly for her at this time. So could you share what you had shared that night, that before you came up, you were talking to God in your chair during the whole night. And then when you came up and I shared those words, it was kind of a really special moment for you because of what you had been praying. So
prior to coming to church and everything, my sister would always try to get me to come to church, and I just wouldn't come to church. And I never really knew how to talk to God. For me, being spiritual was enough, and believing in God and believing in Jesus, that I said that was enough for me. So I never really knew how to talk to God. And that particular day, I just was sitting in my chair, and I just kept saying over and over and over again, you know, for just God to show me that, you know, I'm not alone, that I'm not forgotten, you know, that I am loved, that I am worthy, you know, and that this pain that I'm going through, that it's temporary, you know, and that it's not real. I mean, it is real because I was feeling it, but it's not me. It's not who I am, and it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm unworthy of love. You know, and I just needed like a confirmation, a message, because I just felt so alone in that moment and so broken and so empty. And, you know, for Pastor Chris to say those things to me, it was literally just confirmation and an affirmation that, you know, that God was definitely listening to me and was talking to me.
Yeah, the awkward thing about this story is that this can feel very self-congratulatory about, you know, Pastor Chris, but I need you to know, both of our prayer and worship nights were some of the worst weekends that I've had in a long time. I felt like I was crawling into those gatherings. Just a lot of stuff going on. Felt utterly weak. God moved despite me. And so I need you to know that it wasn't because I'm so spiritual. It's because God is so real, and he's so available and present if we would just lean in. And so when I shared those words and I saw her respond, and then when she shared that, it was like a direct confirmation of a prayer she had been praying between her and God, that God would use prophetic ministry to confirm his reality in her heart. And since then, some really cool things have been happening in Maria's life. Today, she's gonna attend her first Bible study. Could you imagine? That's amazing. And so God could use his gifts, these gifts of the Spirit, to reveal Jesus, to strengthen our faith, and to bring someone like Maria closer to Jesus. And so, Maria, what are some closing thoughts that you wanted, that just on your heart to share, just in light of all that God's been doing and how he's been meeting you?
Well, I mean, I believe at this point, I'm still a work in progress. You know, I'm not exactly where I would like to be, but what I can say is that God is real, and Jesus is real, and the Holy Spirit is here to guide me, and I just need to communicate more, and I have to listen and not be stubborn and hard-headed and do things my way, because clearly my ways has not been working. And most importantly, I'm trying to work on getting rid of the anger and the pain that I feel inside. because that's the only way that I feel that I can actually move forward and just be free. I'm trying to forgive. I'm definitely not there yet, but I know that in time I will be. And you know, and I actually pray for that day to come because I know that it's necessary and it's a part of my journey. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. A lot of positive things have happened to me within just the last month of coming to church, and I don't think that that's a coincidence.
Can we give Maria a hand? Here's what we're going to do for the remainder of our time. Would you bow your head in prayer? In a moment, our leaders are going to be available to pray for anyone that might desire to receive prophetic ministry. This would be a great opportunity for you to avail yourself of that. God is here. He's at work. He's been responding to our prayer. But I wanted to take a moment as we go into prayer. One of the ways that I think all of us can begin to learn to listen to God's voice and to begin to grow in prophetic awareness is by simply praying for people, by opening our hearts to pray for people and receive words from God through those prayers. Over the years, what I've learned to do is when I pray for people, I write those prayers down. And when I send them the prayers, more often than not, they say, wow, that's exactly what I needed. That's what I've been going through. And so prophetic ministry, as we looked in scripture, is for the believer, it's for the body, but it's also for the unbeliever to recognize that God is real.